talk about Jesus for just a little. Now, I'd like to say once again that there are some that are making special efforts to do something for Jesus here on the home front. They're trying to help. And what you need to do is to ask God what you can do. If you're not doing anything, then ask God what you can do. The Bible teaches that people perish from lack of vision. Without a vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision, then you will perish. It takes doing something for Jesus to keep you spiritually alive. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe in God. To me, that takes care of it. But according to the Bible, faith without works is dead. If faith is not activated by works, it will not take you into the kingdom of God. One of the greatest mistakes that the church world has made is feeling that all they have to do is believe to get to heaven. They are of the opinion that all they have to do is make a confession of Christ and believe and they'll go to heaven. But hundreds and millions of people will be turned away because they don't understand. Faith without works is dead. Faith alone, the Bible says, cannot save you. How do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. It doesn't matter how much a preacher preaches to you that all you got to do is believe and you'll be all right. He's wrong. The Bible very definitely states that faith, being alone, cannot save you. That's what the Scripture says. And God tells the preacher that He sends to preach His Word. And He says that the minister that He sends will speak His Word. Faith being alone cannot save you, because faith without works is dead. When you really get a genuine born-again experience, a real genuine born-again experience, it will cause you to become activated with the glory and the presence of God, and you'll begin to do something. I mean, you'll really begin to do something for God. You'll begin to give to God. You'll begin to pray to God. You'll begin to fast. You'll begin to study the Word. You'll begin to want to witness and tell others about Jesus. And you'll be constantly doing something for the Lord. Now, it is a true fact that this happens to you when you get born again. Your faith becomes alive. But people that do not have any works with their faith, they don't really have any God faith. They don't have any living faith or any God faith. Because God faith is a living faith. And the living faith is a faith that is a faith of perseverance that produces with a continuality works. If there is no works, there is no faith. If you do not pray, if you do not fast, if you do not give to God, if you do not have a vision of testimony for Christ, if you're not actively engaged in doing something every day of your life for God, you do not have faith in God. You do not have salvation. It's going to take real, genuine faith in the living God to be able to save you. So then, can faith being alone save you? The Bible said no. No, you'll get to the judgment and find out that God will turn you away, for it cannot save you. The Word of God is powerful. It's the promise that God gave us. It tells us His desire. Tells us what He wants us to do. Let's turn to the 12th chapter of the book of St. Matthew's and let's read beginning at the first verse. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy, and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep, wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant in whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, Jesus goes on in the 33rd verse to tell us that a tree, he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You know, it's something When you stop to think that God said he would not give any sign except that of Jonah, you wonder why that the Lord said that he would not give any sign except that of Jonah. One reason is because God had done great things among the Jews. And there had been all kinds of signs and all kinds of wonders and all kinds of great miracles. But they, being so blind, could not see it. They could not see the things that God was doing. They could not see the wonderful signs that God was giving them. And so then they said, we would see a sign. Here he had done all these great, wonderful things. Can you imagine the people following Jesus? And they come to him and they said, Lord, when are you going to do something so we can see something? Here he's preaching to them day after day. He's telling them about the glory of God. And he is healing their infirmities. And he's doing great and wonderful things. And here they come saying, Lord, when are you going to do something so we can see? Jesus, being disgusted with them, he said, there's not going to be any sign except that of Jonah. I'll give you a sign of Jonah, and that's the only sign I'm going to give you. What kind of sign is this? I'm going to Calvary, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to resurrect from the dead within 3 days of coming out of the grave, and this is going to be a sign to the world, the resurrection from the dead. And this is the only sign I'm going to leave to humanity, is the proof of the resurrection of the dead. This is the sign I'm going to give to the world. Now, if the world doesn't believe this sign, they're going to be lost. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there will be no other sign that can bring you into the kingdom of God or inspire your faith or cause you to be a part of what God has planned for them that will love Him. You have one sign that I give you, and that sign is the sign of the resurrection. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you can live again. You can have eternal life. But if you don't believe in the sign of the resurrection, you won't have any other sign. That's the only sign that I'm giving you. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he said, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. As Jonah came out of the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man come forth out of the heart of the earth. And this shall be a sign unto them, the sign of the resurrection. See, all kind of signs has taken place. There the prophets of old said, and this shall be a sign, for a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. But they didn't believe that sign. Then the Lord said by the prophetical utterance, and this will be a sign to the unbeliever, with stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak unto this people, and for all of this, saith the Lord, they will not hear me. And so they didn't believe the sign, and on and on and on. Great, wonderful things that God did. But they were blind, and they could not see anything. And they kept saying, if you'll just give us a sign, if you'll just tell us what you're doing, let us see something, said, then we would believe. But you know, it was made plain on one occasion. They said, if you would just do thus and thus, like the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell, he said, Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus back and let him testify to my brothers, and tell them not to come to this horrible place. Tell them not to come to this dungeon of darkness and the flames of terror. He said, son, he said, they have the prophets. The preachers are there to preach to them. They preach the word of God, and they tell them right and wrong. And there is the prophets that testify of the wonderful things of God. And said, if they won't believe the preacher, and if they won't believe the prophet, they wouldn't believe though one rose from the dead. And it is the true fact that Christ Jesus gave them the sign of the resurrection. He also raised Lazarus from the dead, but they do not believe even today. Though one has risen from the dead, they still do not believe today. They don't believe. They say that somebody came and rolled the stone away, and that his body was stolen, that he didn't really resurrect from the dead. Though one should rise from the dead, they will not believe. For they have the law and they have the prophets. And if they won't believe in that, they won't believe though one rose from the dead. The Bible says, in the day of the judgment, Jesus is preaching now. He said, in the day of the judgment, I say unto this wicked, sinful, adulterous generation that seeketh the sign. In the day of the judgment, he said, the queen, the great queen that came to visit with Solomon, shall stand beside you at the great judgment bar, and she shall condemn you because she came for many miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Said, and here stands a greater than Solomon, and you won't believe and you won't hear. And said, the people of Nineveh said, they shall stand at the day of the judgment, and they shall stand at the judgment bar, and they shall condemn you because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Now, greater than Jonas is here. So then, these great things that's taken place, here we stand today, and the greater than Solomon is here, for the Holy Ghost himself is here. And the Bible said that all shall be taught of God, for it shall not be man that speaketh, but God himself that speaketh from within his temple. Let all of the world keep silent, for God is speaking to his people. When we see these things and when we understand these things, a greater than Solomon is here, a greater than Jonas is here. And the world doesn't repent and the world doesn't listen. But brothers and sisters, the judgment is real. Hell is real. One of these days you and I are going to stand at the judgment bar of God. What is it going to be like when the Queen of Sheba steps up close to you or close to me? And she looks and she says, I condemn these people because I came for many miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I wanted to hear about this God of Jacob and this God of Isaac, and I repented and I came many miles to hear this great wisdom. And these people heard God Almighty speak through human instrumentality, and they still didn't believe, and they still said, show us a sign. Jesus said, a sinful, a wicked, and adulterous generation seeking after a sign, always wanting to see something. But people who seek a sign are blind. They never see a sign. They're always seeking a sign, but they never see a sign because they're blind. The Bible teaches we are they that believe to see, not looking for something that we might see so that we can believe. For an adulterous generation does that. We're supposed to be believing so that things will take place, so that things will happen. Which brings to mind something that Brother Clyde Cobbs was telling me today. He had a place on the side of his head right here that had been bothering him for quite a long while. And when he combed his hair, he hit it with the comb, and he said it bothered him about being cancer because his dad died with cancer. And it was a bad-looking place, and he came and showed it to us. He couldn't get rid of it, so me and Clyde joined hands. I said, I'm going to pray, and God's going to move it. Clyde said, I believe it. We prayed. Clyde, come back today. It's completely gone. And Clyde said, God moved it. See, he told me while he was testifying to it, he spoke of a brother, preacher, that's not too far from here. Some of you know him. He came here to the sanctuary. I remember him coming down. And he brought his wife here for us to pray for. And we prayed. A lot of times we don't make a fuss over people. Sometimes we get a little more excited than others, but we prayed a simple prayer according to what the man said, and I do remember praying for him. So the man said in prayer, after that we had prayed, the person went back to their home or wherever it was, and the doctors checked them out and found out that though they had cancer when they come here for prayer, the cancer was gone. God healed. But you know, what we seek is a sign. It's like the woman that was healed of cancer in the meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It's like the preacher that brought his wife over here at a tent meeting and said that God healed of cancer of breast. When they went back home, she found out that though she'd had cancer, her cancer had been healed, or her body had been healed and the cancer had been moved. But see, the thing is, we know and we see, and yet we don't see. And they said, show us a sign. If we could just see a sign, then we would believe. But see, where is the sign? They were blind. Jesus was doing all kinds of signs. There was things taking place with a great regularity, but they couldn't see anything because they were blind. Folks, unless we walk with God and get our eyes open in God to see what's going on, we'll never be able to understand. That reminds me of Brother Jimmy. He was telling me, I believe it was yesterday, he said that a great miracle took place with Sister Kirk's dad. They come and ask us to pray for him. And we prayed, and he took a handkerchief or a prayer cloth that came from here. He put it on his body, wouldn't let him take it away. And they had an operation, a gallbladder operation. And when they operated, they found out that he had gangrene and thought he was going to die. But they found out that by faith, as we prayed, that the man pulled through, and they called it a miracle that even they didn't understand what had happened because they expected the man to die. But see, we've had numbers and numbers of things here in Monroe. This happened even among the businessmen so much, you know, in so much that they send for prayer with a continual thing from different places and around in different places. Things has happened, and things has happened to you and other people coming and visiting from abroad that testifies to the wonderful healing of God. But still the world is blind. They say if we could see a sign, we would believe. But folks, when you're blind, you can't see anything. The Bible said, having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. See, they say, we want to see something. You let us see something. In praying for Chuck, though the doctor said he could not possibly have feeling from here down, that he was dead, that there was no way for him to have feeling. Yet we prayed to God and declared that he would have feeling and that he would walk again. And he said, Brother Pike, so help me God. He said, I hurt through my legs and my feet. Said, my feet and my toes hurt, and the feeling is returning to my body. And said, I'd done everything to try to get the sore healed up. Said, I took vitamins and everything else. But after the brethren had prayed, Chuck declared that the sore's healing up. Said, I tried to stay off of it, and it wouldn't heal up. But you know what? I'm sure that you did the same thing. We took it to heart and went to God during the night season and prayed that God would heal the boy because of the misery and the hurt that he was having. But we say, where is there a sign? There is no sign for you. The Bible said, and there shall be no sign for you except the sign of the resurrection. The sign of the resurrection. You know, I heard something today that warmed my heart concerning a work down in Alabama. There's a couple of brothers that split up. It's at this very place that we prayed and God opened an ear there, a man's hearing. And the pastor declared that God had given us a miracle right there at this very place. They said that they had taken a picture of Brother Branham out of the sanctuary. And that the man had taken it and put it in his office because they're getting a change of heart in this very place that come against our ministry down there. And one of the people that we led into the things of God separated and pulled away because they did this thing. But there a miracle took place. It was brought to me today about the separation. It's just been a few days ago that God spoke to me about the very one that pulled away and let me know that he was going to begin to deal with him. And sure enough, something is taking place. You know, God is opening the eyes of some of the people that are really godly sincere. People that really want to be sincere, God is opening their eyes. Now, that's been a sanctuary there that's been called a William Branham place of worship, a place that went to the extremes, and they read the books instead of the Bible, had the picture of the man up there, and come against our ministry there because we preached a sermon there concerning the worms in the bread. But all of a sudden, they're finding out that there's something that happened. And now the pastor and the other one of the main worker, which was one of the preachers, now they're separated. God busted it up because it wasn't right. You know what? It's not wrong to follow Brother Branham. It's not wrong to follow Brother Pike. It's not wrong to follow a true minister of God. But it's wrong to do away with God's Word and not preach God's Word. It's not wrong to praise Brother Pike or praise Brother Branham or praise the man of God. Paul said, in a good thing I praise you. But it's wrong to do away with the glory of God. It's wrong to do away with the Word of God. You know, I say this so often. We say, well, Brother Pike, I'm so afraid that a man will get the glory that belongs to God. I've said this so many times. You don't have to worry about giving a man God's glory. Ain't no man going to get God's glory. And besides that, I say this concerning God's own body or being a minister or a member. The Bible said, glorify these, Father, with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. We don't have to worry about God's people taking God's glory. God give them His glory. He will not give it to another, but we are not another. We are His body. We are bone of His bone. We are flesh of His flesh. He gave us His glory. He glorified us with the same glory. We're supposed to have that same glory. So then, God is doing something here, and God is doing something over yonder, and God is doing something on the other side of the world, but we seek a sign. Who seeks a sign? A sinful and an adulterous generation is seeking a sign. They're seeking a sign. You show us a sign and we will believe. But God has given many signs in the day that we're living in, but they still don't believe. People still don't believe, though they've seen many signs, yet they still don't believe. They've seen signs in many different ministers' ministries. I have seen signs in many places that I've been. I've seen things happen in the ministry of numbers of preachers. I've not just seen signs in one man's ministry. I've seen signs in a number of people's ministry. I've seen brethren right here at Bethlehem and brethren abroad, sisters in Christ, that was not in the ministry. And I've seen them pray the prayer of faith and God healed and God saved because their faith was activated with real, true God works. So then there is signs and there is wonders. God said there would be signs and wonders. But you don't see them because you are blind. You are not partakers of them because you are blind. You have eyes to see, but you can't see godly things. You have ears to hear, but you don't have the ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See, God's voice speaks. God's words go out. And the Bible said, my words shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that that I please and prosper in that whereunto I've sent it. You say, well, I don't feel the Holy Spirit, Brother Pike. No wonder you don't feel the Holy Spirit. You never pray any. You never fast any. You're so carnally minded. You don't enter into the sanctuary with thanksgiving and with prayer and with worship. How can you feel God's Spirit? A preacher could preach his heart out. You'd never feel it. It's like down there today, pouring the walls. One man walked up. He just walked up. I looked and saw him coming. And God spoke to me. I'd give him a word from the Lord the day before, standing out here. And when I saw the man coming, I looked, and when I looked into his heart, and his faith had registered and accepted what I said, and the Holy Ghost fell on me. And I felt the Holy Ghost. Didn't have to come to the sanctuary to feel the Holy Ghost. Another man standing beside me said, I feel the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was out there while we was pouring out there. Here you say, well, I don't feel God. I don't feel the Holy Ghost. You know, why are you playing a hypocrite? That's why. You're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not living for God. You're not giving to God of your time and of your substance, and you're not spiritual. Therefore, you can't feel anything. But brother, they that have God in their heart, they're having a continual feast, whether they're at Bethlehem or wherever they're at. They can be by themselves, walking down the street, riding along in the automobile many multiplied times. I've been riding down the road in my automobile or in the motorhome, and even Sister Betty wouldn't be aware of it, and the tears would be streaming down my cheeks, and the mighty Holy Ghost would be flooding my soul, just literally running over within my heart and in my body. Feeling His wonderful presence. Why? Because I believe. I believe. To feel the Holy Ghost, you got to believe. And many of you here at Bethlehem and wherever, you are so carnal that you can't feel God. You eat so much and you stay so stuffed, and you keep yourself in such a hardness, where the Bible speaks of hardening the heart, that your nerves are so strong and the vital parts of your body is so firm, until God can't even shake you, let alone that you could feel the wonderful presence of God. But when you begin to back off from the table a little bit, and you begin to pray a little bit in the night and get your faith stimulated in God, or you begin to get a vision in Christ, or you begin to give to God, or you begin to do something for the needy, all of a sudden you're going to feel something turning toward God, and you're going to begin to draw nigh to God, and you're going to begin to feel that wonderful presence of Jesus. It's sad to think that a man has to get on a piano or has to get on a guitar to get people stimulated, like Elvis Presley, to hang a guitar around his neck and start moving with motions like a snake with his body to affect the people with their nerve system and with their passions to come out there. Or you have to have some kind of rodeo or some kind of race or some kind of football or some kind of frolic in the world, some kind of jazz, some kind of band. Or you've got to play the organ to get people stimulated. And they've got so far from God and so hardened to God that they don't perceive anymore. And they don't feel the Holy Spirit anymore. And they don't feel the presence of God anymore. What is it? God is withdrawing from mankind. He is withdrawing from mankind. Things are taking place. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm going to do different. No, you're not. You're not going to do different. You're going to die and go to hell. You're not going to do different. You said that before, that you was going to do different. You purposed in your heart before that you was going to do different. But you know why that you're not going to do different? Because you're waiting for a sign. There's going to be a great ministry. There's going to be a great thing. There's going to be something great happen, somebody says. And then when this great thing takes place, we're all going to have a revival, and we're all going to be saved, and we're all going to be God's people and be raptured away. You're a hypocrite. That's what you are. See, you are a sinful and adulterous generation, and you're seeking a sign, and there isn't going to be such a ministry, and there isn't going to be such a move, and there isn't going to be such a thing. To the contrary, the light's going out more and more. God has sent a great revival. God has sent a great thing. You know what God's going to do? God is going to stimulate His body, stimulate His believers, stimulate His people, and the rest of the people are going to get colder and colder as the Spirit of God lifts, and they're going to get more interested in drinking and eating and frolicking and having a good time, and they're going to get more interested in passions. You understand what I'm saying? That's why people are falling more and more. Because the Spirit of God is beginning to lift from the earth. So then, a simple generation, you're not going to get right with God. You're definitely not going to get right with God because you're waiting for a sign. If there is going to be any sign. Somebody said, but there's got to be a special move, Brother Pike. And when the special move comes, oh, brother, there's going to be that great sign, and there's going to be great signs. If it does, then I'm a hypocrite. If that thing comes to pass, then I'm a hypocrite. If that great sign that you're looking for comes to pass, then I'm a hypocrite. Why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because Jesus said, there shall be no sign. Amen. And I say that the Bible says that, and I say I believe that. And therefore, there comes one that I'm a hypocrite, and the Bible is a lie. It'd have to be a sign from the devil if there comes such a sign. Jesus said, I give you a sign. And this sign is the sign of the resurrection. And there won't be any other sign. He told you concerning them that pray for the sick, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Jesus said this, and the power of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. Said in the church, if they have sick people, call them together. Let the elders of the church anoint them with oil and lay hands on them, and God would heal those people, and the prayer of faith would save those people. But the sinful, adulterous generation still seeks after a sign. So then, beloved, let me tell you something. There will be no such as you're looking for. Ever since God spoke back there in that day saying, and these signs shall follow them, these signs have followed them. But God did not give any of those signs of healings or signs of miracles or any of the signs that he said would follow them. He never gave them to you, nor to me or anybody else for the purpose of getting into the kingdom of God. There is one sign for getting into the kingdom of God. That is the sign of the resurrection. There is no other sign. When people preach signs for any other reason, they're hypocrites. You say, but Brother Pike, if somebody could see a miracle, they'd believe on the Lord and be saved. That's a lie. You can't be saved by seeing a miracle. There is no way you can do that. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I preached on that the other night. The only way you can be saved is to hear God's word. And if you hear God's word and if you're not saved by hearing God's word, you can see all the miracles you want to and you won't be saved. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if I saw a miracle, I know something was happening. That's exactly right. Any fool would. Somebody say amen. Amen. Any Thomas would. You wouldn't have to believe nothing. If you saw a man jump up out of a wheelchair, why would you have to believe something was happening? You've got your eyes. You can see. You know that something is happening. That's not faith. That's knowledge. Your intellectual knowledge, the same knowledge that tells you to go eat when you get hungry, the same knowledge that tells you how to drive an automobile, the same knowledge that tells you how to sit down and get up, is the same knowledge by the sight that you're looking through tells you that a man got up out of the wheelchair. You say, but the thing is, I saw him, that makes me believe. I know it's knowledge that I see it, but I believe it. You sure do with your intellectual reasoning. You know that he got up, so you believe he got up. You believe it was a miracle because you saw it with your eyes. God said, here, Thomas, if you got to have something to look at, said, look at it. Said, if that isn't enough, come over here and stick your finger in the wounds, if that'll help you any. But said, Thomas, let me tell you where the blessing is. Said, blessed is he that hath not seen that can believe. Blessed is he that can believe, Thomas. For I'm not going to give this sinful, adulterous generation a sign. What do I want to give them a sign for? What is the sign going to do to help them? They can't be saved by a sign. There's one sign, that's the resurrection. You preach the resurrection, Brother Pike. Brother Taylor, you preach the resurrection. Minister, you preach the resurrection. And they that believe in Christ and believe in the resurrection, they will live and come forth from the dead in the end time, and they shall be saved. But there won't be any other sign. That's what's wrong with some of us today. Paul said, I say me to keep from saying you. Here we are. What's wrong? Why don't we feel the quickening of the Holy Ghost? Why don't we feel the quickening of the Spirit? You know why we don't? We're waiting for something special. We're waiting for something special. Instead of listening to the Word of God, and instead of coming through those gates with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that we're going to hear God speak and hear the Word of the living God, and instead of believing in the Word of the living God and drawing nigh to God, whereas the Bible said, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. Instead of drawing nigh to God, not God's Word and God's Spirit, we sit there waiting for something to happen. And consequently, nothing doesn't happen. Because the only way God ministers to anybody is through faith. Through faith. Through faith in the Word of the living God. God is a Spirit. Through faith in the Word of the living God, God ministers. Now, we'll play on the organ. When we play on the organ, you'll get religious. And when you get religious, you'll feel something. But then, it's too late. The Word of God's already been preached. Let's play on the organ, Brother Taylor. You know, you'd have been in bad shape if you'd been back in the apostolic times, wouldn't you? They either didn't have no pianos, no organs. They just preached out on the street corners, you know, and sometimes didn't even sing a hymn. If you listen, that organ will sound better to you than the Word of God now, if you listen. That music, it'll just do something to you. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? It did to Saul. Saul, he couldn't hear the voice of God. He done got so far away, he couldn't hear the voice of God. But oh, my brother, when David started playing on that harp, it done something to him. That's where the world is today. That's where some of you are today. You can't feel God. You can't communicate with God because you don't have any godness about you. You're not spiritual. You're not God-concerned. You're not concerned about holy things. Not concerned about spiritual things. You're not fasting. You're not praying. You're not seeking God. But when the organ starts and the music, then is when you feel good. Somebody said, just for then I ain't going to try to feel good. Can't help it. Can't help it. You might as well let go. You can't help it. If you're going to be a hypocrite, you might as well be a real hypocrite, you know. Just go all the way. Lord, I want you to stand with me. Now, while we sing, worship God, you that have real light, you that love Jesus, you that are filled with the glory and the Spirit of the Lord, while you let your light shine, let's sing and let's praise God so that the hypocrites can reflect the light. They can reflect the light, and as they reflect the light, then they'll feel something, and they'll get real religious. Reflectors, wandering stars, for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. But you that love God and you that are in heaven, rejoice. Rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. And maybe among the hypocrites, and maybe among the religious proselytes and the parasites, maybe there will be one that has been in darkness that doesn't know. Maybe one will get his eyes open and begin to understand and believe. As the light goes out and as the wonderful blessings of God come down, somebody, somewhere, they may begin to feel a little something in that they don't know nothing. And it may stir enough interest that they just might listen to the Word of God. And faith may come forth in their heart. And they may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ that I should believe on Him? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou canst hear the Word and believe on the Word, then thou canst be saved. Let's sing this little chorus together. Weep over my soul. Weep over my soul, Holy Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it with me now? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail those wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. To feel his presence and to feel him at home in his temple. To hear him. To know that he is nearby. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that publishes peace, telling us that there is a risen Savior, and that they that believe on him can be saved. Hallelujah. Do you believe on him? Stormy deep, for in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail those wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Into my heart, oh come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it with me, can you? Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Sweet Lord Jesus, into my heart, Lord Jesus. Don't you want Jesus to come into your heart? How wonderful to have Jesus come into your heart. Oh, Ramanda Raman Shanda Ramasanda Ramanaya. Ula Mandalialamo Shida Balala Sign. Undala Mandala Malo Shandalialamo Sign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How sweet. How wonderful. He'll come into your heart because he's sweet and wonderful. You know, we sing that little chorus, sweeter each day. He grows sweeter each day. Sweeter each day. Oh, it grows sweeter each day. This salvation grows sweeter each day. Oh, it's sweeter each day. It grows sweeter every day. This salvation, it is sweeter each day. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. Let's think about Jesus. Let's think about Jesus. Oh, folks, it's so beautiful. The Lord was talking to me the other night. And I was thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about Jesus. Thinking about the wonderful things of Jesus. And my wife and I, we were talking about Jesus. And talking about the wonderful life beyond the grave. You know how beautiful it is to know where you're living right now. And to know the revelation of this wonderful thing that has taken place. How wonderful to know about Jesus. And to know about this great sign of the resurrection. This great wonderful resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Oh, beloved brother, sister, I am the resurrection. If a man believe in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. I give unto you a sign, the sign of the resurrection. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, that wonderful sign of the resurrection. Oh, Ramanda Ramashanda Ramasanda Ramanaya. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection, Jesus said. Thou canst believe. Oh, if you can only believe tonight. With your hands raised toward heaven, with your hearts melted toward Jesus. Oh, we sing that song, revive us again, O Lord, revive us again. Revive us again, Jesus. Revive us again. What if the Lord would not revive us again? When we become cold and heartless, and when we become so carnal, we become so natural-minded, what if the Lord would not revive us again? What if he would not stimulate our innermost being or our spirit? What if God would not activate our bodies again with his love and with his grace and melt us with his compassion? What if God refused to do it? Revive us again, O Lord, revive us again. We sing the song, Jesus, use me. O Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. For though the task be great, I'll still work for you. I'll still work for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you shouldn't speak in tongues. The Bible said don't speak in tongues. The Bible didn't say don't speak in tongues. It just said if there's not an interpreter around, speak to yourself and to God. But I interpret too. I interpret too. We've got people that interpret. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is right at home at little Bethlehem. Hallelujah. We understand his mannerism of talk. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful is Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Said he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, he's a prince of peace, mighty God is he. And he's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's the counselor, prince of peace, and the mighty God is he. And he's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is Jesus. Praise his lovely name. I said he's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and the prince of peace. Oh, he's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. One more time, now he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, prince of peace, and a mighty God is he. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory. Let's sing it again. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is me. Counselor and a prince of peace, mighty God is he. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his. One more time. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and a prince of peace, and a mighty God is he. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. God put it.